Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Oh, Father. And will you play that song? I want you to just worship. I have a lot. I have about 20 pages here, and there's no way I can get to that. But I'm led by the Spirit of God. And the most important thing is God's agenda, not mine. And as I was laying on my face before the Lord today, he said, some of my people are in ruts. I saw this record player, and the record was going around, and it was in a rut. And you said, I'm going through the motions, but I don't feel your presence, God. And he said, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and this is what he said. When you feel dry and you feel numb, you don't feel anything. He said, welcome to the baptism of the crucifixion of your flesh. Because we serve him in spirit and not how we feel.
Come on. That's so good, Rose. Come on.
We serve him unconditionally.
Yes.
He's not a jack in the box or a microwave or a Santa Claus or a get fixed quick situation. He is God Almighty, and we worship him. And he said, I am longing. Pastor Terry said this in prayer, and I jumped up because this is exactly what he told me. He said, I am longing for face to face relationships with my people. They have, we've heard this saying, get in the word, get in the word, get in the word. And the Lord said it just like me the other day, to me the other day. I was sitting on the porch and he said, Rose, you know that phrase, get in the word, get in the word, and get in the word. He said, tell my people, be with the word. Be with the word. I don't know if we'll be able to get to it, but Ephesians 3:19 says, don't let your knowledge exceed your knowing him. You need to write that down. Don't let your knowledge exceed knowing him. Don't let it surpass knowing him. Because sometimes the Pharisees knew the word of God. And I'm preaching my message right now, I realize. But you can know Genesis to Revelation and not know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And hear that gentle voice that will tell you something and whisper in your ear. Listen, if we learn to submit and kneel at his feet and seek his face, those things that we've been longing for will come into alignment. Because it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and body. And everything that you have in you, love him, and then you'll be able to love other people. See, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't love yourself, and if you're hard on yourself, you'll be hard on others. You'll hold them to that standard. But when you fall in love with God and you kneel down at his feet and you realize, I don't have to worship, I get to worship. I get to worship. What an honor. Who are we that you are mindful of us? But thank you, Jesus, that you are. Thank you, God, that you are mindful of me and that you take my worship right to your heart. And he's longing for you to put down Facebook and put down the phone and run to the throne. Put down whatever that idol is that you've exalted in your life. He said before, while I was standing there, he said, tell them, I want them to take back the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. So we've let our works get ahead of us, and we've gotten comfortable in that, in our traditions and you know, our way. But God said, seek my way. You know, Moses and Paul said the same thing. Moses said in Exodus 33:13, he said, I want to know your way. I want to know you. If I found favor, and I told the Lord today, I said, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know you. That's all I want. That's all I want. Everything else will come into alignment. The Lord said in his word, he speaks scripture to scripture. He said that if you would seek him first, everything else would be added unto you. But we say things like, and I'm getting way ahead of my notes, but that's fine because this is how the Holy Ghost wants me to go. Out of your innermost being, you should be able to minister God. Rivers should flow out of your innermost being and tell him you love him. Tell him you're appreciative for everything in your life and let it flow out from you. I was just seeking the Lord and I was saying, Lord, it's such an honor to be called by you. It's such a responsibility. I don't take it lightly when pastors ask me to speak. I want to ask you personally. I want you to keep this thought in your mind. Why do you get in the Word? You can. Some of you can speak up. Judy, why do you get in the Word? Okay, that's good. And that's number one. Why do you get in the Word? Delia? Because he's a loving father, that's good. What he put on my heart was Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we would be transformed. When I get in the Word, I don't get in the Word to impress anybody. I get in the Word to be transformed. This broken vessel needs him. I need more of him. I need more of his presence. I need to decrease so that he can increase. Yes. And I need to die daily like the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians. He said, I die daily. I crucify my wants. I could have did anything today. You could have did anything today. But I choose. See, we have a choice. And part of surrendering is to choose. I choose you, God. Because you're so worthy. Think about it. Our Creator, the Creator of the universe, wants to have fellowship with me? Are you serious? Really, Lord? And we have such a good time. About June 28th, I'll never forget this day. It's a little testimony. The Lord had given me specific directions about my future. So that night I said, Father, I laid on my bed and I just want to think about you. And listen, you can be thinking about the Lord. I know some of you work and you have children, but it's the posture of your heart God's looking at. God's all about our heart. And I said, I'm not turning on the TV. I'm not watching. I love DIY programs. I'm not going to do that. I want to posture my heart to seek your face. And he said, Rose, run to this scripture. And I'll keep it that part private. And I ran to the scripture and over and over and over and over, he was giving me specific directions for my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to tell you about surrender before we play that song. Surrender means trust in him, walking humbly with the Lord your God. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you? It's real simple. It's three things. That you love justice and mercy, and that you walk in love and show kindness, and that you walk humbly before your God. That's what he showed. Why am I using this? Is my mic on? Oh, that's why I'm hearing feedback. Okay, can you still hear me? Okay, thank you. Because I just realized I had it in my hand. And that you walk humbly with the Lord our God. God resists the proud, but he gives more and more grace to the humble. And I need grace. I need grace. I need grace to cook. I need grace to minister to people. I need grace to love on my grandchildren like they should be loved and to minister to them. I need the grace of God. So God is asking us to surrender. And he's asking us first to walk in humility. And surrender is a willingness to let go of your desires, your control. You're choosing to embrace God and giving up your plan. See, he has a great plan for our lives, but we need to embrace his plan and surrender to God and say, have control. And he gives us the right to choose. He's not going to break anybody's will. He's not going to tell anybody, you have to. Again, we get to. We get to tithe. We get to witness. We get to boldly speak the word of God. We get to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night and hear the Lord speaking to us. We get to hear his voice. And I can't express that enough, what an honor it is. And there is a transfer tonight happening of the Lordship of Jesus in your life, where you've let other things come in and overwhelm you. The Lord said, let my Lordship come in and rule you. See, because if our mind is stayed on him, Isaiah 26:3, we'll walk in perfect peace. We won't be troubled about things because we trust God. It may look bad. Listen, I have faced some things this year that look bad, but I trust God. I trust God for miracles, signs, wonders. I trust him for every day of my life, but with it, I give him thanksgiving. I am so thankful for my husband. I am so thankful for my children and my grandchildren. I'm thankful where I live. I'm thankful for ketchup. I'm thankful for my Bible. I'm thankful for shoes. I'm thankful that he clothed me. It's important you represent Jesus well. Yes. And that spirit, soul, and body. See, the Bible says men judge after their appearance, but God looks at your heart. And so we want to make sure that we're focused on our heart behavior. And sometimes it's an attitude adjustment. You know, the other day, I think I was talking to Terry, and twice I caught myself because I asked the Lord, hold me over the fire. If there is that much pride, get rid of it. Correct me, God. Do what you want to do. You know, we sing the song, I will make room for you, but will you? Will you make room for him? Psalms 46:10 says, let be. That means all your anxieties, all your troubles, all your worries, all your trying to take the wheel. I'm good at that. And he says, Rose, take your hands off the wheel so I can put my hands on them. See, we both can't be in control. Either the Lord is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Either he wants to lead you or you're leading. And a lot of times people will find themselves, I thought of the book of Ruth, my favorite book of the Bible. And Naomi, after losing her husband and two sons, was bitter. And then she blamed it on the Lord. She said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Did he? No. They got up from the house of bread, Bethlehem, and Elimelech decided he would travel to Moab, a cursed land. And the Bible says they continued there. They just stayed there. They didn't just go for a visit. They stayed there. And Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, which both, one of them means sickly and one of them means weakly. I can't even imagine my children that. But they die. And Naomi goes back to her land. She heard the famine was over and the season had come for reaping the barley and the wheat. And so she goes back to the land and they said, could this be Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And I'm thinking, one thing just makes my skin crawl. If something's wrong in my life, it's either the devil attacking, and I'm not going to give him any homage tonight, or I've gone out of alignment. Don't put the heavy on God. Don't blame God if things aren't going right in our life. It says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And there's no changing in that. He's not in cahoots with the devil. He's not making you sick. He's not making you broke. He gave us this instructions here so that we may have a great and abundant life. And he sent his son to be crucified on the cross so that our needs would be taken care of, and that the most important thing is that we have a fellowship with him, that we can hear him when we're about to turn down this road and he says, turn down this road. That's how close we need to walk with Jesus in the day we live in. It says, if you come close to God, He'll come close to you. He will come close to you, Joanna. He will come close to you, Ashley. We make the decision. You know, Joshua said in Joshua 24, 15 and 14 and 15, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no negotiations in my home. My husband and I had the best talk about Moses and how, you know, Moses sought after God, but see, actually God sought after him. And he went to the mountain to seek this fire that was burning, this all-consuming fire, and he met God. But God had plans for him when he was put in the river. God had plans for you and I. He has plans for us, and they're good plans. They're not evil. If anything evil has happened in our life, it is not God. It is not God. He is only the best for you and me. He has a good plan, and he wants to take us to that place. Sometimes we have to wait because he's cleaning us up and he's straightening us out. And if he just put us out there, we would tear the body of Christ up. So you have to be careful how you handle the word of God. One day I was talking to a friend of mine. I was actually counseling with her. And I said, well, you can be anointed or you can be annoying. And I went, I got to write that down. And he has used that so much to me because we are people of the word. And we should be, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And so, yes, we should have the Word in there, but we should know how to rightfully handle the Word, Timothy says. We should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly divide the Word of truth. And so, sometimes people don't need the Word, they need a hug. They need a phone call. They need a face-to-face relationship. I said, hey, Daddy, I told the Lord this today. I said, hey, Daddy, we have the same love language. And it's called P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. If you say you love me, I mean, I receive it. I'm not saying I don't believe you. If you buy me a present, well, that's nice. But man, if you come over and you spend time with me, you've touched my heart. And God said, that's how it is with me. I want to see your face. There's something about a face-to-face relationship, Judy. There's something about it. About 2 months ago, I went to a women's meeting. And my mentor happened to see the back of my head. And she goes, could that be Rose? And so she came over to me and she said, hello. And I stood up and we were like that close. We were face to face. And she grabbed my shoulders and she said, it is well. It is well. All is well. All is well. And I just stared at her. And I was there to hear my friend speak. I didn't hear a word. I was struggling to hear because I heard it like many waters. God saying, all is well. All is well. When it doesn't appear all is well. Because He's in control. Because He's a good, good God. And we can trust Him. Right, Bunny? Amen. We can trust Him. And if you can't trust Him in the hard times, I mean, in the good times, who needs to trust? Who needs to put their faith out there? It's when my husband was put in the hospital in March, the first night, I mean, the cardiologists and people were coming at me, I mean, firing. You better know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You better know how to minister yourself in the Lord. And they were just telling me all these reports and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, is it going to make it through the night? Because that's how they approached me. And so I went home and I began to just, I thought I was going to fall apart when I got home, and I opened the door and I had the sweetest time with the Lord. And He taught me that you don't have to carry worry like a backpack to show you care, Rose. He said, you can love your husband And this is for anybody in here. You might be caring, thinking that you're helping your family and you're showing them that you really love them because you're worrying about their future. You're not. Worry is not our arena. It's not our arena. Our arena is arena of faith. And so as soon as I got alone with the Lord, he gave me Jeremiah 23:29, and it says, is not my word like fire? Oh, I love that. Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure? And like a hammer that breaks a stubborn rock into pieces. And so I pray over Troy's pillow, and I pray over his sheets, and I pray, I grab his hand and I pray for him, and I am speaking Jeremiah 23:29, that God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish where I'm sending it. And I'm sending it to those two blockages in the name of Jesus. I'm sending them in there because no word of God is without power. And I send that in there. Well, we went to the cardiologist last week, and they did an echo a month before that, and his heart has improved by 15%. But I said, I'm not done, God, and you're not done. You're not finished with us yet until we get that full 100%. Because you promise with long life will you satisfy us. You promise that you bore those stripes on your back. And I'm not going to let any enemy come in and tell me to worry when my God says he's already taken care of it, Rose. And so my decision in my heart was whether it goes this way or this way, I'm going to worship you, God, because I'm your daughter. You're still the healer. I don't care if 50 people die. You're still my healer. I was worshiping him, I think it was Saturday, when he told me about just be with the word. And I was just worshiping. He said, Rose, call me by name. Call me by name. I'll just get that out. And I said, call you by name? You know your name. He said, I want you to call me by name. This is what came out of my spirit. You are El Shaddai, God Almighty. You are the all-sufficient one. You are Elyon, the God, my God, the Most High God. You are Elohim, you are God Divine. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're Jehovah Nissi, my banner. You're Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. And I just kept going. You are the commander of the angel armies. You weren't created. You've always been. You are the beginning. You are the Alpha and Omega. You're the bright morning star. You're the lover of my soul. And I just kept going. And he said, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that you know me. And one thing I know about the Lord, and it will help you in hard times, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong unto his children. If it has not been revealed to you, then it belongs to the Lord. And I just have to put some things up on the shelf. I want the answer. I want to know the end. I'm that kind of person that says, you know, I love my house immaculate. I love order. I love my clothes, you know, color-coded. And it's just my DNA. And I said, God, you made me. I want to know the beginning to the end. I want to know, you know, you prepare my heart. And I love what Pastor Terry told me. She came to the hospital and she said, Rose, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So God will speak things to you about your future. Jeremiah 33:3. And I have to tell you, for about a month, every time I got in the car, it was 333. At the gas station, 333. I turned on something, it was 333. And I said, I got it. And it says, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you things that are fenced in and hidden, that you know not of. See, we don't know it all. We need our Father to tell us what to do. We need our Father to show us things to come. And in John 16:13, he said, I'll even show you future things. Did you know that? He'll show you things that are to happen in your future. He did that when my mother passed. I got a phone call 11:15 on a Thursday morning, and my brother was in New Orleans, and he said, Rosie, my family calls me Rosie, don't call me Rosie. you're my family, but let's get by past that. Rosie, Mama doesn't feel good. And I said, well, give her a Tylenol. I mean, I'm here in Texas and you're in New Orleans. And she won't take it. I said, well, take her to the hospital. She won't go. And I said, well, keep me in touch. And I hung the phone up and the Lord said, she's coming home today. Well, one person that wants to be in control and believes in the power of prayer. I went to my king-size bed, and I was jumping up and down on it, and I said, not today, not today, not today. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I couldn't get the peace of God. I remember his voice telling me so clearly. So my husband came home about 3:30, and I said, honey, you know how God speaks to me? And he said, yeah, baby. And I said, it's Mama. And he said, get on a plane. I said, let me go to church first and get the pastor to pray. And so I was crossing 6th Avenue and 9th Street, or vice versa, 9th Street, whatever. And the Lord said, at 6:03 on her death certificate, at 6:03, he said to me, Rose, she's gone. She's with me. And he said, but I want you to know that I'm not a high priest and I'm not touched. See, God's not hard. He's not ruthless. He has compassion. It says Jesus moved with you toward compassion, with compassion. And so he moved. He said, I'm moving towards you with compassion. I'm close to those who have a broken heart. I'm right there with you, Rose, and I'll give you strength during this time. I'll be your peace, and I'll give you favor. And I'll give you strength to endure the next few days. Well, I won't get into stuff that happened afterwards, but it took 3 years off of my life. Things that happened. Because I had my eyes on men. There were no flowers. There was no food. There was just a call from my pastor, and she said, Rose, you need to act like you're on cloud nine because you're an example to the women and get back here and start teaching. This was 4 days after she passed. My spine shook from my neck all the way down, and I ran a mile to my friend, and I fell in her arms, and I said, where's the compassion? See, we need to be careful that we don't just have the letter of the law, but we bring to people compassion. Amen. And understanding. People aren't interested in how much you know. They want to know how much you care. Yeah. They want to know if I walk through that door and I have tears in my eyes to be sensitive. You know, there was a situation Sunday morning where the power of God fell on Judy Spears. I come out the door and I just looked at her and the Lord said, go pray. And there was a group of us. Brother Bobby was there, and Brenda, and David, of course. And we were able to minister out of our heart. And then Pastor Terry came in, and she laid hands on her. And all of a sudden, she's shaking real bad. And all of a sudden, she got up and said, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And she was jumping up and down. And the Lord was present. So we need to know how to flow in the Holy Ghost. We need to hear the Spirit of God and be tender and sensitive, saying, I'm picking up on something. And if God doesn't reveal it to you, just pray. Sister Joanne, I was supposed to pray for you, but he said, call you up and pray for you. So if you would, sister. I haven't forgot about the song. Can y'all give God a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Set your eyes on him. Set your eyes on him. The Lord said, it's not time for you to go. You have a lot of living to do. And the Lord's healing your body. He's healing your arteries, and he's healing your heart. He's healing something in the stomach issue. something right there in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Let the anointing, yeah, there it is. There it is. There it is. There's the anointing. There's the anointing to make the crooked places straight. And whatever it is, God, I thank you that you know it. Your blood covers your daughter. And it's no accident that she's here, God. And I thank you that you're doing a miracle right there. Whatever that is, she'll know it. She'll have a noticeable difference, says the Lord. You'll have a noticeable difference in Jesus' name. Amen.
I went to the doctor today, and they said my stomach was messed up.
So did y'all hear that? Tell them.
I went to the doctor today because I've been having stomach issues. And so what do they do? Give me a pill. You know, But God.
To God be all the glory. He will not share his glory with another person. We are just his servants. But I gladly co-labor with my Lord. Don't get into false humility and say, it was all God. It was all God. God uses us. And we are co-laborers with him. The difference is we don't get any glory. We don't take his glory. Sister Ramona, the Lord says to you that you are the desire of his heart, that his heart longs to hold you and love you. And with length of days has he given you for your life. And he said you are his desire. Face to face, he beholds you too. He beholds you too. Tammy, the word of the Lord said to me all day long, the same thing for you. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. He said, baby, just because it's been denied, it's not denial. I mean, he hasn't denied it. And he said that thing which you are praying, he heard your prayer. And he said he is the anchor of your soul. He's not going to allow you to be moved. He's not going to allow you to be in turmoil. But he's going to speak to your heart exactly what he wants you to hear. And there'll be the desire of your heart will be so great. See, a lot of us say, God will give you the desire of your heart, but that's not scriptural. He said, as you delight in the Lord. Let's put the first things first. Delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Rachel, God said, you've been afraid to ask for certain things because you said, what if it doesn't happen? And he said, what if it does? He said, ask of me, and I'll not hold anything back from you because I want to give you your heart's desire. And he said, just ask me, and I'll do it for you. Where is Jake? Where's Jake? Jake. Jake, if you can hear me, I'd rather look at your face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope is your anchor, Tammy. Hope is your anchor. You know, when you put down an anchor, you don't move. That boat doesn't move. It's not all over the place. And God said, you're not going to be all over the place. You're anchored in Jesus. You're anchored in Jesus. He said, he will not fail you. Brother, when I was praying today, I heard witty inventions. Creative, witty inventions. And the Lord said he would tell you, be sure and get a patent. Don't show it to anyone till you get a patent. Because he's going to use the witty inventions for your future. Financially. But you don't have to strive and try to think of something. It will come suddenly to you. Like, oh, I got this great idea. Well, be sure and give him the glory. But witty inventions. And Pastor Terry, when I was praying for you, I saw this beautiful field of tulips. And I said, I don't understand. Some things aren't for me to understand. They're not my word. But I looked it up, and spiritually it means rebirth, new beginnings, new wine, new directions is what I heard in my spirit. He said, you've gone through a season, and it hasn't been an easy season. And he said, but he's honored your faithfulness. And he's honored your heart that you didn't go into complaining mode, because he resists the complainers. And he said, like in Numbers, what you have said in my ears, that will I do for you. So it's be careful what if you complain. But the Lord said, those tulips represent new rebirths. And I don't know much more than that, but he just told me to tell you, he saw a field. I saw a field of tulips. It's not just a little bit. It's going to be a lot of bit, a lot of new wine, a lot of maybe new giftings, new ideas, how to take his church forward in this new birth, rebirth. Sometimes we get stuck in our old ways, and we need some new wine. We need the new wine of the Holy Ghost. The Lord said, if you'll seek my face, you'll see my hand at work. You need to write that down. If you'll seek his face, you'll see his hand at work. See, face to face is relational. But to have answered prayers, that's his works. And Psalms 103, verse 7 says, to Moses he revealed his ways, but to the children of Israel, he revealed his acts. They weren't interested in going to God for themselves. See, a lot of times we put the heavy on Rachel to lead us in worship and bring us to that place when we should walk in and be ready to worship. We should be in the Spirit already. We should be instant in season and out. Not put the heavy on the worship team, or not put the heavy on our pastors. You know, pump me up, because all week long it's going to be, you know, six more days before I'm in here again. No, I go home and I let him pump me up. Tell me what you want me to hear. Because I have a personal relationship, and he speaks to me face to face. No, I have not seen the face of God, but I'm telling you this, the presence of God, the joy of God, the favor of God, all these things are his face. Answers in the Word. I love to be in the Word. 8 hours is nothing for me. I mean, 2 or 3 days is nothing to stay in my office and just seek God's face. And I'll say something to the Lord like, what does this mean? Or where is this at? And I promise you, I'll flip my Bible and there it is. And I'll go, I wish I could tell somebody there's nobody home. There's nobody to tell that your presence is here. Little old me. Your presence is here. So we're going to play this song, and then if you need to go, go. But I think God's asking us to, I want to change it. I want to change it to seek my face. I want you to bring your Isaacs to the altar. There's some things in your life that God's been dealing with you to give up. I know he has in my life. And so it begins with me, and then he tells me to deliver it. And he said, I want you to bring that. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's friendships or relationships. Anything that comes before God is an idol. Anything that has a strong hold on you, bring your Isaacs to the altar. I love what Ben said Sunday. The message, I looked over at Terry and I said, give me a tissue, because God had already been dealing with me about his message was my message. I didn't get to give it today, but it said, I know that you have feared me, Abraham, because you obeyed me and you brought Isaac to me. And God says, I know that you love me when you do what I'm telling you to do. So if we could play that song, if you want to come to the altar, if you want to stand where you are, you already know if God's been dealing with your heart about something. In Revelation 2:4, he says, I have this one thing against you, that you left your first love. I know your works. You're busy in a lot of things. You're taking care of this one and that one and doing this and that. But God's not asked us. God hasn't called. Hold on, please. God hasn't called us to be a doer. I mean, he's not calling us into doing. He's calling us to be his child. Come before him. And so whatever is holding you back, whatever has a stronghold on you, you feel like you need a breakthrough. He is the God of Baal-perazim. It means he is the God of breakthrough. And David, it says David broke through and God killed the Philistines. So let's just set our heart to know him. And If you need to go, like I said, go. But set your face on his face right now. Thank you, Jesus.
You placed your hand over his face.
A little bit louder.
In your presence, he wouldn't die. In this holy place. will make it to the end. If I could just see your face, I will make it to the end. Abba, show me your face.
In Psalms 27:4, David said, "One thing have I asked, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may stay in your presence." And the Lord said, "Seek my face." And he said back to the Lord, "Your face I will seek." That's what God's asking us tonight, to seek his face. He said, "What about my needs? Seek his face and your needs will be met." I want you to listen to this last song. You can't outgive God. If he's asking you to surrender something, he's got something so much better for you.
Join me, let's sing to him. Trouble.
As we go tonight, thank you, Rose. Thank you, Rose. We can take this, yeah. Good word. Timely word. Everything happens in the presence. Everything that changes us, everything that alters us, everything it's the gold. I don't know how else to say it. And I feel to share this story. Before I got married to Scott, one day I just said, it was a Friday night, didn't have anywhere to go. I was now serving the Lord at Bible college. I just went into my closet, sat down and sat on the floor and just started singing silly songs to the Lord. You know, just singing to the Lord. And all of a sudden he just began to speak to me about my life. And I had major trust issues with the opposite sex. I hadn't had good experiences. And he began to show me how I could trust him and I could trust Scott. We weren't married yet, but he began to speak to me, and you think, what's the big deal? Well, that was a life moment for me, which enabled me to get married and trust God and all that stuff. So I'm just saying, when you step aside and just say, I just want to spend time with you, there are downloads that happen. He heals you. I can't even begin to tell you, all of us have experienced that. When you get in the presence of God, what does that look like? I was sitting in my closet floor by myself, just singing anything that came to my heart in the dark. And God stepped in. He met me there. And he changed me, you know, so I could trust someone to get married and all. So I'm just saying, when you step aside to spend time with him, things are going to happen. Life-altering encounters with God are going to happen. So I just encourage you with that. Get alone with God. Give him time. He's saying that to us. Give me time. I want to talk to you. I want to heal you. I want to speak to you. I want to change you and give you those witty ideas wherever Jake is. Jake gets witty ideas. Jake gets witty ideas. So praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for all that you've done tonight. I thank you that we're changed. I thank you that the rain has gone. And Lord, I speak safekeeping over the body tonight as we go to our homes. I thank you that your presence goes with us. We do not step into our cars alone, but we take that with us. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us the grace to stay in that place, Lord, where our heart is turned to you. And I thank you that you're a good God and minister to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I will see you on Sunday.